Good morning to you all. Thank you for having me with you tonight, this morning. I don't speak Chinese. I wish I could, but but I know all of you know English better than Chinese, and my English is not better than my Kurdish and Arabic, so I hope that I will be able to communicate what God wants to communicate to you. And I can see a lot of young people here, and I believe the best about a church that has a lot of young generation to establish the further of the kingdom of God and to bring his glory into the world that really needs needs us to be his light and his salt. So thank you for giving me the opportunity. I wanted to introduce myself to you because I remember, as far as I remember, I believe that your pastor, when he asked me to speak, he told me about the refugee family that you're bringing in. And I believe that was one of the reasons that he asked me to come and speak, because I am Kurdish. And I come from northern Iraq, and the family that you're bringing is Kurdish from Syria, but is coming from northern Iraq. So they are refugees in northern Iraq. So I have a lot of relationship in this area. I was a Muslim, and I became a Christian. And this family, I don't know whether they're Christian or Muslim, but most likely they're Muslims. And we have a fellowship, an Arabic fellowship, Arabic-speaking fellowship, because there aren't many Kurds, so we Arabs and Kurds together, we established a fellowship. 90% of the people in our fellowship are Muslim converts. They were Muslims, they became Christian. And now over 50% of them are Syrian Kurds, which is similar to the family that you're bringing. Why I tell you all these? Because I want to encourage you that God can use you with his family as an opportunity to expand the kingdom of God. But today, through the message that we're going to hear the Lord speaking to us together, we will understand how to walk in wisdom and how to walk in the way that the Lord wants us to walk with the people around us, and especially the people that are expecting from us to have them, to love them, to contain them, to not to contain them in a bad way, to control them, but to really surround them and to hug them and to make them to feel that they are welcomed. So this is this is Jesus' message, and this is God's message through the whole Bible. The shortest and the strongest verse in the Bible is, God is love. If you strip away love, there is no more Christianity. If you take away love, Christianity is done. I know my brother Solomon said that you have another service at 11:30. I'm hoping that they won't come in here while I'm still speaking. I'm just kidding. So, but I take my time when I speak. But I will make sure I'll finish before that. Okay. So we read the passage about the story of an expert in the law. Some versions call him a lawyer. He was a Pharisee, or these people that are experts in the Mosaic law. This person came to Jesus and started up a conversation with Jesus. His conversation with Jesus was not to learn from Jesus. His conversation was to find errors, mistakes, problems in Christ, to accuse him and to find anything wrong he would say so that they will bring him to some sort of punishment. But we will find out how Jesus handled this man, even though he knew that this person did not have a pure intention approaching him. You will find a lot of people around you sometimes that they do not have a pure intention. Sometimes they even may mock at your faith. They even, you don't even sometimes feel, you sometimes you probably would feel embarrassed because you would be looked at it as odd. But in the same time, I want to tell you and tell myself, and the Holy Spirit wants to tell us that, we have something they all that are out of the kingdom, they do not have it. The minute they receive it from us, they will be completely changed. But the problem is that we cannot give anything we do not have. Can anyone give something he doesn't have? You need to have it first, then you can give it, right? If I don't have something, I won't be able to give you. But if I have something, I will be able to give you. If it's mine, I will have the choice to give it or not. But first, I need to have it. So the foundation that we will be talking about today is how we will be established and rooted in the love of Christ. I want, even though we read from Luke 10, I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I know a lot of people, they don't anymore. They have their phones with the Bibles, and people don't take their Bibles with them anymore to the church. But that's okay. So I'm going to read a few verses in chapter 3, starting from verse 14. It says, "For this reason," this is who is speaking, is the writer of this epistle, which is Paul. He is speaking to these people and telling them, "Is for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of the glorious of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, with all the saints, to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ." So Paul here is telling these people, is telling them that, "I want to give you something that I have received it, but I do not know how to give it to you. And I actually cannot give it to you. The only thing I can do is I can pray for you. I can kneel down and I can pray for you that the one who gave it to me will give it to you as well. He's the Holy Spirit. I have received something from him that have transformed my life from inner being, that had made me to be a different person. But this thing that I have received from him, I cannot give it to you. He is the only one that can give it to you. But my role is to pray for you that you may receive the same thing that I have received. That a transformation will happen in your life. That you will never be the same anymore. And that you will be crazy for Jesus." See, there are certain things we can learn it going to school. How many here go to school? How many here go to school? Quite a bit, right? Those who go to school, you learn a lot of stuff from your teachers, right? Correct? There are things that we learn from others. There are things we learn in work by experience. There are things that life teaches us. But there are some other things that nobody can give to us except God himself. Nobody can put it inside us except the Holy Spirit. And this thing is called to be rooted. It's called faith in Christ that will make us to be rooted and established in His love. Then we will understand how high, how wide, how deep, how high, the length, the depth, the height of the love of Christ for us. When we are rooted and established in this love, that love will flow from us to others. And that love will be so big and so contagious that others will feel it around you. Why you have this love, they will say, and I don't? What happened to you? How come you receive it and I don't have it? And you will tell them, someone changed me from inside. And that one that changed me from inside can change you too. See this family that are coming. I know that you are eager. I have been in Chinese churches before. I was in a Chinese church for a few years. It was Cantonese worship. I have listened so much to Cantonese worship. Is here Mandarin or Cantonese in the morning or afternoon? Cantonese. So I have been there and I loved and enjoyed worshiping, even not understanding one word. But I was just enjoying the songs. But then the message was translated to English, so I would understand the message. But I wouldn't understand the songs. Sometimes, not all the time. But I know also the Chinese are very generous people and loving people, and the culture is very close to Middle Eastern culture. So I am 100% sure that you guys will surround these people with a lot of love, and you will try to cover all their needs. However, you know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. For what reason? To feed us with food? To cover our earthly needs? Only to heal us from our sicknesses? Only to make us to feel good? Was that the reason? The reason was so that we may be saved and have eternal life and be with Him. These precious people around us, the most precious thing we give it to them is the most precious thing that we have. Unless Christ becomes so precious in us, we will not understand that He's so precious that we need to give it to the others. Correct? We only give the things, if we love other people, we will give them something that's very dear to us. True? Or we will share with them something that's very dear to us. Sometimes I will make my best meal and my son will say, I'm very, very hungry. I was craving for that meal, but I'll give it to him because I love him. Right? But no matter how much we feed people around, if we don't give them Christ, they are still lost and their soul is still possible going to eternal punishment, to be perished. So the most precious thing you would share with the people that you will see around you is Christ. However, what Christ was doing with people, He was doing two things. He was having passion and compassion. And even He told His disciples when He sent the 70 or 72, He told them, go to these people, heal their sick, fulfill their needs, and then tell them the kingdom of God is at near. So do two things to them. First of all, it's very important you cover their needs. Talk to them about their needs and fulfill their needs. Yes, it's needed. You will not be able to go to a person who is really, 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 really hungry and tell him, Christ loves you, but I'm not going to give you anything to eat. It's not going to work. He's hungry. He needs to eat first. But after he eats, give him spiritual food too. So now, we're going to come back to our... That was only introduction, by the way. I'm just kidding. We'll come back to our main thing, and I will be quick. Here, the expert of the law coming to Jesus and telling him, how shall I get the eternal life? How shall I win or inherit the eternal life? And Jesus, knowing everything about this person, he said, what does the law say? He knows he's an expert in the law. So the guy comes, he says, the law says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus answered him and said, you have spoken correctly. Go and do the same, and you will live. So, first thing we want to know about this guy or this person, that he indeed knew the law. He knew the book. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the Word of God. Because when Jesus was speaking to this person, the New Testament was not written yet. So the Word of God was only the Old Testament. So he knew the Word of God. He probably memorized a lot of details about what to do, what not to do, how to keep the Sabbath, and a lot of other details. But he did not grasp the purpose of why the law came. That's why, even though he knew the law, but he was not saved. He did not have eternal life. See, knowledge does not save us. Knowledge prepares us to receive. It says faith comes by what? By hearing. And hearing from what? The Word of God. So when we receive, when we hear the Word of God, when this knowledge starts making a difference in our mental being, in our logic, in our understanding, then we will be open to receive. When we receive, after we receive, the actual change happens. So this person, one of his characters, he knew the law. And by the way, Jesus did not tell him, don't tell me about the law or anything. I know why you're here. You're not even here to know anything. You're here just to accuse me. I find something wrong that I will speak. Your motive is wrong. I don't want to even talk to you. Sometimes when we find someone that his motive is wrong, we just close the doors. We don't give opportunities. True? Well, I tell you, 99.99999% of people in the world, they will have wrong motives. But it's God who changes people from inside to even fix their motives. So instead of Jesus closing the door on this person, he gave him an opportunity. He answered his question by what? By another question. He said, what does the law say? You tell me. Jesus didn't answer him as an answer. He answered his question with a question to give him an opportunity to open up conversation. And what God wants us to do is with the people around us, in our neighbors, to make relationship and to give opportunity and to open up relationships with them. And then the person comes and says, who is my neighbor? And it's very clear, one of the characters of this person, that he was confused about the neighborhood. See, We all, not only this guy, we all are so much caught up with our close circle that we forget to take care of the strangers. We are so much caught up with the people that are cool to hang around with them, fun to hang around with them. But we do not want to get to the people that really are away far. I have seen several times in different Christian reflections that there are some strange people at school, at work, at different places that they have been hurt and wounded from inside. But nobody is making friends with them. They're so isolated. And the Christians around are not even stretching hand to them. But then one of the people will just get out of his comfort zone and will go to this person and will say, I want to be a friend with you. See, in order to reflect the love of Christ to other people, you need to get out of your comfort zone. You need to get out of your circle. You need to expand your circle. Instead, let me tell you, between you and me, how many differences are there? How many differences? Language. You don't speak my languages, right? And I don't speak Chinese. Our parents, our culture, our background. We live in different places. We have a lot of differences. But we have something in common as well. We were created in God's image. Even if I was not a Christian. Yes, I'm a Christian, you're a Christian. The blood of Jesus connects us. But let's say even if I was not a Christian, there is something that connects us together. We're all human, created in his image. And that's why when this guy told Jesus, who is my neighbor, Jesus didn't come and tell him, a Jewish person was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Actually, this whole parable, how many have heard sermons about this parable before? How many? Quite a bit. I know this parable is very familiar and a lot of people hear sermons about this and with different really ways people talk about this. But today you will hear my version about it. So this person, when he was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, why it says was going down? Because Jerusalem and Jericho is a very, like, elevation-wise, is a big difference. Like, Jerusalem is about 750 meters above the sea level. Jericho is about 250 meters under the sea level. So, like, there is 1,000 meter difference between Jerusalem and Jericho. So there is a big steep slope, like down. So when you come from Jerusalem, you go down, it's a big sharp slope down. And usually the road from Jerusalem to Jericho is a very difficult, narrow road with a lot of rocks, with a lot of danger in that road. And what the robbers were doing, the robbers were coming and making sometimes even, you know, like they will hide themselves behind the rocks and behind the stones and waiting for some people to come that they see that they have lots of wealth or a lot of belongings and they are alone, then they would take advantage of that person. They will go to him, they will beat him, wound him, and leave him on the road, like between life and death. And they will take all his belongings and they will go away. So this is something was very common happening for people going from Jerusalem to Jericho. And this parable was written in some of the Jewish non-scriptural books. And the Pharisees knew about this parable. This expert in the law, he knew about this parable.
But he knew it in a different way than Jesus spoke it. He knew it in such a way that the guy that was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho was a Jewish person. Jesus changed from Jewish to a man to expand his neighborhood. Your neighborhood is not only a Jewish person. It's not only a Chinese person. It's not only an Oriental or Asian person. It's not only the people of your church. It's not only the people that are close to your circle. Your neighborhood is any person who is around, is created in God's image, and needs your help. That's the number one thing that Jesus did to expand his neighborhood. The other thing that the person who came to rescue this guy that was on the road, by the way, this is not a true story. This is just a parable. Just a parable. But this thing was happening. The guy that was laid on the road between death and life, like that was wounded and beaten and all this, the person that helped him and rescued him, according to the Pharisees' version of the story, was a Pharisee, was not a Samaritan. Was what? A Pharisee, not a Samaritan. See, if you read the history of the Jewish people, the people of Israel and the Samaritans, you know, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, when they, you know, became two kingdoms, and you know how the Israel divided into two kingdoms, and there was a lot of animosity between the Jewish people and between the Samaritans. The animosity was so big, they hated each other. They what? Hated each other. To the point that the Jewish person does not want to pronounce Samaria or Samaritans. To the point they will say, God, please, when I die, do not bury me. I do not want to be buried in a cemetery that the Samaritans are there. Or I do not want to be in the day of judgment with the Samaritans. That's how much they hated each other. Both sides. By the way, the Samaritans hated the Jewish people too. So the hatredness was from both sides. How many agree with me now there is too much hate in the world? And too much killing and too much... Even there is a lot of things happens that the Muslims sometimes accuse the church that we actually do not really love them. And they are different. And the Muslims and have killed a lot of Christians, have persecuted a lot of Christians. So it will be easy for us to hate the Muslims. But if we hate them, we will never win them. If we love them, we will win them. So Jesus said, a Samaritan person had compassion over this man who was laid on the road. Why Jesus said a Samaritan person? To give, to really, not to offend the expert in the law, but to wake him up. That the very person that you think hates you could be the very person that would rescue you. And we as a church want to tell the Muslims and the others, if you think that the church hates you, it's the church that wants to rescue you. It's the Christians that wants to rescue you and take you out of the miserable life that you're in. We're on the same page? So, looking into all these circumstances together, Jesus wanted to make some conclusion to this person, telling him that, by the way, the priest and the Levite that passed by the person and didn't help him, most likely they were coming out of the church service, going, they went, temple service. They were in the temple, they were serving in the temple, and going back. How many times you come to the church and you listen to the service, and you listen to the sermon, and you listen to the word of God, that challenges you, and then you go out of there, and then you face a challenge that will put you in situation, whether you are really going to reflect what you learned or not, and we, you and I, would fail to do that. How many agrees with me? We agree, right? We fail. That's exactly what these priests and Levi did. They just came back from the temple, supposed to be serving God. But you will never be able to love the God that you have not seen unless you love the people that you see. That's what the Bible teaches us. If you say that you love God and you hate your brother, the love is not established and rooted in you. The letters of Apostle John teaches us a lot about love and says, we know that we have been transformed from death to life because we love the brethren. It's because we love others. That's why we know that we have been transformed from death to life. See, the Jewish, some people would say, well, because the Old Testament did not teach them all these things. Wrong. The God of the New Testament is the same God of the Old Testament. These two commandments that this expert in the law said, he was probably the only person other than Jesus that referred to these two commandments in the New Testament. Jesus referred to it as well. Said, oh, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and then love your neighbor as yourself. These two commandments are written in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Leviticus chapter 19. But in the same chapter, Leviticus chapter 19, that talks about this second part of the commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, in that same chapter it says, if you have a stranger in your city, in your town, in your neighborhood, if you have what? Say it, I want to hear. If you have what? A stranger. Someone not from your own circle. Expand your neighborhood. If you have a stranger, it says, treat the stranger the same way that you treat the native born people. For do not forget that one day you were a stranger in the land of Egypt. One day we were all strangers in this land too. So the challenge for you and for me, my friends, brothers, sisters, people of God, is to say, God, I want you to change me from inside, that I will love the love that you have loved others, that I will reflect your love to others. See, Jesus gave the opportunity to this expert of the law to understand that mercy is better than all other sacrifices. Any sacrifice you give is not stronger than love and mercy. I would like to pray with you for a couple of minutes and then we give it to my brother. Let's just pray. Can we stand up so that we pray together? In our church, when we receive things, we want to receive things as I don't know how to say it, but as